He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, every one, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. It is written, and every one that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. It is written, and it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as their scribes.
For God is just a prayer away.
And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came to him a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he stretched forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And straightway his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Our day is so dark that I seek in vain for the face of my friend divine. But though darkness hide, he is there to guide by the touch of his hand on mine. And there are times when tired of the toilsome road, that for the ways of the world I pine. But he draws me back to the upward track by the touch of his hand on mine. And when the way is dim and I cannot see, through the mist of his wise design, how my glad heart yearns and my faith returns by the touch of his hand on mine. Then in the last sad hour, as I stand alone, when the powers of death combine, while the dark waves roll, he will guide my soul by the touch of his hand on mine.
Just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, Jesus and the Leper. According to Matthew's arrangement of the life of Christ, as soon as he preached the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus came down from the mountain, and a great multitude followed him. There's nothing unusual about a great multitude following Jesus, because there's something about him that attracts great crowds. Actually, there is really no mystery to it, considering the prophecy of Jacob, when he gave a final blessing to the 12 sons in Genesis 49. It was to Judah that Jacob prophesied, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And so, according to this prediction, that the Christ would come to this earth through the tribe of Judah, there is really no mystery as to why great multitudes followed him when he came down from the mountain. For unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Later on in John 12, Jesus would declare, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." The cross is the drawing power of Jesus, and that is no big mystery either, because unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Then 50 days after the resurrection, on the day of Pentecost, on the day the church began, there were 3,000 who became members of the church the first day. What was it that persuaded such a great number? There was only one item on the docket that day as the apostles told the story of Jesus, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and his ascending up to heaven. It does not appear that there were even any such thing as a song service when Peter told them to save themselves from this crooked generation, and 3,000 responded. There is no marvel to this when we remember that Jacob said, "Unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Consider also the great assembly that takes place on this earth. It is not the Super Bowl or the NASCAR races. The greatest gathering on earth today is the gathering of millions every Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again we say, no marvel here, for unto him shall the gathering of the people be. But the greatest gathering of people at any one time will be on that day when the Son of Man shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. Then we that are left alive unto his coming shall together with them be caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. On that day will be the finality of the prediction of Jacob concerning the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Another reason also the multitude followed Jesus was at the close of the Sermon on the Mount, the people were astonished at his doctrine, because he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. In that message, Jesus had said, "Ye have heard that it was said, Thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, ye have heard that it was said, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, you have heard that it was said, Thou shalt not forswear thyself. But I say unto you, you have heard that it was said, An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, you have heard that it was said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you." Jesus did, in fact, speak with authority, and that authority would include the words of the apostles, because Jesus declared to them in his farewell address in the upper room, before he went to the cross, "The Holy Spirit, when he is come, will guide you into all the truth, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you." Jesus did not trust the memory of the apostles. The Holy Spirit was sent to them to prod their memory, and so all the words of the New Testament are words of Jesus, whether printed in red letters or black letters. As we read any verse in the New Testament, we can hear the voice of Jesus, overlaid over the babbling of a thousand voices, calling out to humanity, "You have heard that it was said, but I say unto you." Then, when Jesus came down from the mountain, in quick succession, Matthew gives a list of 9 mighty works that gave evidence of his authority, including healing of a man with what was said to be the incurable disease of leprosy, the raising of the dead, the stilling of the tempest, and the casting out from one man a legion of demons. Ladies and gentlemen, what other world religious leader has the power to do what Jesus did? Truly, Jesus has the right to declare, "Ye have heard that it was said, but I say unto you." And now we make 3 observations of one of those mighty works of Jesus, the healing of the leper. Matthew says, "There came to him a leper, kneeling to him and worshiping him." Now Luke, who was a doctor, takes a pathological look at him and said this man was not only a leper, he was a man who was full of leprosy. He was in the last stages of it. Leprosy was a contagious disease that required separation from others. And in many ways, leprosy is compared to sin, the leprosy of the soul. And there is nothing that separates like sin. There are many in this world who will separate themselves, as Jesus said in Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you and shall separate you from their company and reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Ladies and gentlemen, it is obvious that many people today avoid the house of worship like the plague. However, some in the church like to associate themselves with the world and try to fit in by not looking and acting too religious. Paul warns them in 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Jude warns even in our evangelistic efforts to be cautious in those efforts when he says, "Save them, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Many a preacher in working with the lost has been entrapped and come down with a bad case of this leprosy of the soul. Perhaps many of us have felt like Paul when he said in the last chapter, or the last of Romans 7, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Then he gives the answer in the first verse of chapter 8 of Romans when he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Ladies and gentlemen, that is well to remember when we consider the final separation, where Jesus has declared that on the judgment day, he will separate the sheep from the goats. Then again in Matthew 13, there is the Lord's statement about the angels gathering all things that cause stumbling together, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And now the second observation concerning the healing of the leper is when Jesus did the unthinkable. He actually reached out his hand and touched the man who was untouchable. One might wonder how this untouchable man got into this crowd when he was supposed to live in separation. Well, if any of us had been in that assembly, none of us would have touched him lest we be contaminated. As he approached, everyone would get out of his way and give him a wide path to approach the Lord. Jesus touched the untouchable and said, "I will. Be thou made clean." And straightway his leprosy was cleansed. When Jesus touched him, his holy hand did not become leprous like anyone else's would have, but the body of the leprous man was cleansed. The experience of the leper is not entirely unlike our own. This whole world was a leper colony before Jesus came. Paul tells us about it in Philippians 2 when he says, "Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross." Jesus actually touched our humanity by coming into this world and living in a body just like ours. That is why Paul could say in Hebrews 4 that we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who was tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. His physical body was just like ours. When he went without food, he hungered. When he went without water, he thirsted. After a long day of work, he became tired. And he was also like us in that he tasted of death like any of us. And through it all, he was not contaminated with sin, the leprosy of the soul. Although he never sinned, he did in fact become sin for us on the cross. Paul informs us in 2 Corinthians 5, "Him who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And on the cross, the sinless Son of God felt as though he was guilty of every sin that we have ever committed. He felt as though he had committed every act of sexual perversion, told every lie, every word of blasphemy. He was every drunkard, committed every murder, robbed every bank. He felt the shame of every child molester. Jesus touched the leper with his hand, but he touched our humanity with all its corruption on the cross. Christ died for our sins. And because he touched me, I who was untouchable, I am able to repeat again the words of the gospel song we used a few moments ago. When the way is dim and I cannot see through the mist of his wise design, how my glad heart yearns and my faith returns by the touch of his hand on mine. And then, in the last sad hour, when I stand alone and the powers of death combine, while the dark waves roll, he will guide my soul by the touch of his hand on mine. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus touched me, who was one of the untouchables. And now the third observation regarding the healing of the leper regards the testimony. When the leper was cleansed, Jesus told him, See thou tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now some may wonder, why did Jesus tell him to tell no man? Well, there was a reason, but don't worry about it. A bigger question of concern is, why would Jesus not tell us, tell no man? We have been cleansed from the leprosy of the soul. Jesus would not tell us to tell no man because he knows, in most cases, we have no intentions of telling anybody anyway. Actually, in our case, Jesus tells us to go and tell everybody. In the Great Commission, according to Mark, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Go and tell it to the whole world. Tell it to every nation. Tell it to every creature. However, today we have a problem. In many of our pulpits, many are ashamed of the testimony. A word of warning is given by the Lord himself in Mark chapter 8. "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me before this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man also, when he cometh in glory, will be ashamed before his Father and his angels." Listen again to Paul as he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1. "Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. God is very much aware of the testimony of the church." In Matthew 24:14, Jesus declared in no uncertain terms, "And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a testimony unto all the nations, and then shall the end come." Ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast is one among others where it can be said that the gospel of the kingdom has already been preached in all the world as a testimony to all the nations, according to that promise. When all nations have heard the testimony, there will be no cause for a longer delay, and the end can come at any time. In the meantime, we need to keep giving our testimony. When Jesus sent the leper to the priest with his testimony, he knew the priest would not accept the testimony if he found out Jesus did it. But Jesus told him to give the testimony anyway, whether they believe it or not. I attended a revival meeting many years ago, and at the end of the sermon, they sang a song of invitation, inviting all who would to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. During the singing of that song, a certain lady walked forward. I saw the preacher engage her in conversation as the congregation continued to sing. At the close of the song, the preacher announced, "The lady had not come to accept Christ, nor has she come to transfer her membership, nor to express sorrow for some transgression and ask for prayer." The preacher said, "This lady has come tonight, on behalf of all of those who should have come and didn't." I sometimes feel the same way. I wish I could go to a revival and go forward repentant of all my sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then be immersed for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But none of us can do that. We can only give our testimony. Jesus said in John 5:39-40, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye may have life." Jesus says, give them the testimony even though they will not receive it. There is a statement in the book of Isaiah 59:12 that may have a warning for those who deny the testimony of the Word of God. The prophet said, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us." Those who refuse the testimony of the Word of God will find the Word of God will bear testimony against them on that day. So, when I stand before the judgment seat by and by, will he be bearing all my sins, or shall I? Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with our letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, check out our website, edbousman.org. Tell somebody, somehow, and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.